Hello and welcome to the Pop and Bottles Statcast. I'm Ben, and Nick's not here because he just doesn't like fun anymore. But I am in Santa Fe, New Mexico for the Type A Parent Conference, which is fucking dope because I get to hang out with these guys.
Nice, we can curse on this podcast. You can curse on this podcast. He set the tone, that's
right. I've got a little button on here before I post it. It says explicit with a little check box, and I hit it, and then a little red box that says explicit comes up on the bottom.
Okay.
There so we'll start with you. Introduce yourself.
I'm Eric Binion. And if you follow me on any social media channel, it's Dire Dad. So.
Do you have a podcast?
I do have a podcast.
Oh, that's right.
But Daddy Why? I do that one. I do that one with Pat Jacobs, who doesn't like fun. He's not here. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all none of us
all our co-hosts.
All of our co-hosts are in here.
Yeah. But we're all the cooler ones anyway. Yeah, so
we're all the cool co-hosts. Yeah.
No,
cool
co-host. Art and Eddie Shrey guys.
Oh yeah, I'm best of competition with Art, man. Yeah.
We're this is like co-host anonymous.
I guess so. Yeah. Oh yeah, this should be like a once a year thing. Co-host anonymous.
I don't know how this happened, but this is like a dream team of podcasts.
It is.
You're getting gold right here, platinum. You know.
And you, sir?
I'm Don Jackson, NPR. No. I'm Don Jackson. That's right. The Don Jackson from DaddyNeeby.com and from Dad Spotlight. And my co-host is actually out of podcasting.
Oh, that's right. He's a podcast movement.
Podcast movement. Taking a buttload of pictures of you know, Cliff Ravenscraft.
The more well-known podcast.
Yeah, not us. Yeah. Not us small.
The people pulling down six figures for, you know.
Yeah, we're pulling down 6 cents per episode. That might be a little much if we say 6 cents per episode. That
It's more like 6 cents a month. So we'll split that between four episodes when we actually do episodes. Math gets confusing when you start, like, you know,
we're
math doing
right
it.
Now.
So. I don't even think math enters the equation.
I see what you did there. Math doesn't enter the equation.
There we go.
That was eyebrow humor. Yeah,
exactly.
Interesting. I'm that good. Wow.
And who are you?
Yeah. I am Ryan E. Hamilton of Life of Dad, better known as the Cheerio Challenge these days, apparently.
Right?
So I'm Ryan Dad from the Cheerio Challenge, and also I co-founded the Cheerio Challenge, people, and also co-host the Life of Dad after show with my man Art Eddie. You know him well. My God. Esteemed celebrity dad interviewer of the stars. So, and then of course my man Tommy Riles and Patrick Quinn, and you know, I mentioned Art Eddie. Dan Lazar's never gets love. Dan Lazar's kind of he's so hardworking on his day job that everybody shouts out everybody else at Life and Dad but Dan Lazar's. But I got to shout
well,
my man Dan
he's
out.
Not in the header image either. Because there's that header image of all you guys.
He might be. I think he's up there.
I put that image together. And I got pictures of everybody, but I'd have to show you where he is.
David doesn't get any love either.
Yeah, David Guest. He just kind of lives his life. He's a teacher and he's a co-founder and kind of plays behind the scenes. He just like plays low key with his life.
This is what it is. St. Louisian.
Yeah. He's my man from back in St. Louis, an old camp buddy of mine. And he's the guy that brought me into Life of Dad, and the rest is history. But and then all of you guys are members of the Life of Dad family, man.
So our show here, what we have this week is a viral star and three dudes with five.
I'm a viral star. Patrick Quinn helped me become a viral star.
We all owe
I'm
our
just a coder, dude.
Patrick Quinn.
Yeah.
So we're all here for the Type A Parent Conference, which it's day two. It's been, I think, pretty great.
It's awesome, man.
And
I love this place.
One of the things I've been talking about with people when they're like, you know, hey, how do you like it so far? You know. The past conferences that I've been to, like Dad 2.0, is amazing. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
But it is a lot of people. It's a lot of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels a lot more, you know, like a smaller group of people who are all just kind of hanging out and, you know, more like we're trading industry secrets and that sort of thing. So
that was industry, not indiscreet.
Yeah, industry or maybe both.
I mean, absolutely both in my case. I heard it.
It depends on the time of the day or night, maybe. Yeah,
could be both.
Well, what do you guys think so far? Like, are you grooving on it, or like, is this something that you'd return to? Do you wish you'd see something else? Yeah, that sort of thing.
The Type A Parent Conference.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my fifth Type A event. Okay. I think. Yeah. You know, Kelby Carr, founder of Type A Parent, awesome woman, phenomenal. my gosh, I've been at Type A Parent conferences. I think for the past 4 or 5 years, you know, almost as long as Kelby's been doing it. And she continues to rock out. She has all these. This is like, I think this is the first time she's had it out west. She generally has it, you know, like a big event kind of out, like east, you know, maybe down in Atlanta or whatever.
The east one is at Disney.
Then she has like several Disney events throughout the year, and boot camps and VIP events and all kinds of different things. But I've been to all kinds of different ones. It's just a great group of people. Like, you know, as far as conferences go, a very kind of down-to-earth vibe, you know? Dad 2.0 Summit and Mom 2.0 Summit, you know. Down to earth in its own right, but very kind of like high class and kind of like lavish at parties and things like that. But Kelby kind of throws like a, you know, kind of throw on your jeans and your, get down and dirty with like an 80s party and karaoke parties and things like that.
This guy doing the worm over here.
And apparently
big worm.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things. Okay, so my, like, it's like I have one dance move.
I love how he breaks it out in the end when everybody's leaving.
Well, you have to hit it at the right moment.
Strategically timed and whatnot. Well, no, it was funny because my kids love dancing, right? So we'll be doing it'll hit the evening and we'll have that, like, we're going to do the dance. They want to dance off. And really what it is, we don't want to go to bed, so we're going to be adorable and say, hey, Mom and Dad, we will do dancing for you, you know. And get to stay up another 15 minutes. And then Mom and Dad start playing with the music. And we love music. So the next thing you know, half hour later, they're dancing with the music. And I don't ever get up and dance at home, right? Because I don't have all the moves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's their show. And my wife will kind of do it a little bit with them to get into it. And she's like, you got to have a move. And I'm like, well, I can do one. Worm, I guess. And she's like, no. And so, like, I said I could do it. And she's like, you are full of it. Like, so I busted it out, and she, ever since then, she goes, man, I am not calling your bluff on anything after that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, it's my one move. It's pretty legit. I mean, I'm a rotund guy. So it doesn't seem like it should happen.
Well, it seems like it doesn't even matter what size the person is. What matters is if you understand the physics.
There's a size limit.
I think you'd be too big for it. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
With my one ab, I don't know if I can do it.
He's just got one big ab.
I got
one ab.
Yeah, there's a singular. There's a legitimate chance I might bust it out at the closing.
Villains and hero party.
You got to wear a cape for it then.
No.
Come on.
I didn't bring a cape. I got my Punisher shirt.
There's plenty of towels.
And I'm sure we can find one in Santa Fe somewhere.
There's plenty of towels in the room, man.
Those are huge towels.
I know. Just go like old school and tuck it in your shirt and fly around like this.
So actually, another thing that I just realized about us all being here at Type A and being podcasters and dads and whatnot, we're all speaking.
We are.
You already spoke.
Yeah.
We're speaking tomorrow.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've already told everybody yours is canceled.
Yeah. Right. I feel like I should do like the Glasgow Comedy Fest style, where I'm like handing out flyers to people as they're walking past. Mm-hmm. Like, come to mind.
Now you got it.
Free drinks, whatever.
Well, see, I had to go up against Ryan Hamilton's Snapchat. So you know, I got the leftovers.
Right.
So I me and Eric are rooming, so I would like to say that I went to his, but I
did not. See, both of you all went to his. So, like,
sorry,
it's okay. You know,
I actually wanted to go to yours, but I have prior obligations.
I was too busy being awesome.
Yeah. So yours was Snapchat.
Yeah.
What one was yours?
Mine was finding. finding your audience where they are.
Oh, there you go.
I really did want to go to that, though, because, I mean, I love that topic. I love hearing different perspectives.
It's one of those things, and your listening to yours would kind of help, too, except I have to do mine at the same time.
And because, I don't know anything about podcasting, so I wanted to go to you.
Right, yeah. I mean, I knew that. I listened to your show.
Keep it clean, keep it clean.
I have an NPR voice, so.
Just a little bit, just but little. It's soothing. It's
no,
nice.
I don't know about that. It's like so
but one of the things that we've been meaning to do is get more Philadelphia area parents into our show and understanding that, hey, like, we're a part of Philly Dads Group, and like, we do little events and stuff like that, and you know, we want to help out the community and stuff like that, and a lot of the pitches that we make to brands. When we do pitch brands, it's like, hey, so we had this idea, and maybe we could do a giveaway and make it like a barbecue at our local park, or go down to Fairmount Park or something like that, and do something like that. So, yeah, I kind of wish I could have done it.
Yeah.
We should make a podcast episode.
I probably should. You know, it's a cool topic because, like, what I was talking about was stuff that I had done a long time ago, and it was some really cool. Opportunities that I had to kind of see how you, like, most people know who their audience is, right? It's not that you don't know who your audience is, but there are ways to ask them questions and engage with them in such a way that you find out what they're really looking for. And so, as a really good example, it's kind of quick, is I worked for this public radio station right out of college, and I'd gotten that, and it was a fun job, and we were just switching our website around. And we had this opportunity because with public radio, people will come in and talk to you. Like, your audience wants to be involved. Like, they're volunteering for all your stuff. So one of the things that we did was ask them some questions that were, like, you know, we're making this change, this rebranding. What do you like? And what are your pain points? You know, kind of thing. Like, what could we do different? How would it be better? And in the back of our heads, our thought was, like, yeah, we need to do more, you know, more content, right? Which clearly we were going to do because, you know, that's...
You want to stay on top of it as much
right,
as possible.
Yeah. But what we kept hearing was, and so this is in, like, 2007, so blogs are not really a thing yet. They're kind of like, the first blogs are kind of coming out. Like, LinkedIn had just barely become LinkedIn.
Right.
So this is that time frame. And so we were kind of creating the first, like, one of the first public radio blogs. And what we kept hearing from everybody was, you know, like, I'm sitting in my car and I have to get out and I miss the end of a story and I never hear it again. And I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Or I just got into my car and you're just wrapping up and I never hear that story again.
The beginning of it.
And so, like, there was that light, you know, we were talking with everybody, like, when we got having our little meetings, and one of the things I kind of mentioned, like, we have all this content. We're not doing, I mean, we should, because we would ship it out for, like, if we're getting awards or we're submitting it for awards. I mean, we had it to give away. I'm like, we're kind of moving this blog type format. Why don't we throw the audio on there? And then one of the things we can do is, like, you know, when we're doing our little ads for ourselves on the things, like, did you miss a show? Check out our website.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
download it when you have it. And, like, our next pledge drive was huge. And it wasn't that we didn't know who our audience was, and it wasn't that we didn't know what they wanted, but being able to ask them really direct questions or questions that where we kind of let them just start giving up a bunch of feedback, we found out this pain point that they had, and it was no work on our back because we were going to have all the stuff available anyway. Like, we weren't doing anything extra. It was just, here's our audience, but they were kind of actually right over here. We just had to kind of move over there and meet them where they were at. And so that's what I was saying, when you find your audience where they're at, you know your audience, but you may not know exactly where they're at. You're close. One or two things, you ask questions, and next thing you know, you're really meeting their needs, and it turns into, you know, and in that case, it was a great pledge drive turns out. And it's fantastic, and then they feel connected to, like, oh my god, they listen to us.
That's awesome,
absolutely,
and they definitely feel, like, more invested.
That's
awesome.
See, I wasn't sure if he was talking about his dating life or his sock.
Well,
I'm a divorced dad. I'm trying to build an audience of my own, man.
Is that why you're all over Snapchat? Is that why you're a Snapchat guru now?
Yeah. I, almost like
no comment.
I think we went to the wrong talk.
Yeah,
it sounds like it.
Yeah,
we got mesmerized by
We got mesmerized by all your stickers and your
emoji. We also got concussed by the Cheerios that he threw.
Right. Yeah.
I'm really sorry if that wounded you.
Apparently,
the Cheerio challenge takes on a whole new
Cheerio challenge. The gladiator. Yeah.
But how safe are Cheerios?
So here's something interesting. So we're talking a bit about reaching your listeners and reaching your audience and stuff like that and being able to connect with them more. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like that, so that was back in 2007.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, because, you know, I didn't join social media until much later, but I feel like just after 2007, 2008, sure, there was MySpace.
Right.
But that's when Facebook really started to roll out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Facebook was Twitter and that sort of thing. So with going viral like you guys did,
yeah,
and now being a purveyor of Snapchat, and you know, you got Chris Reed, who's just a Twitter madman.
Yeah,
he's
great.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel that it's at all easier to connect with your audience now that they were so engaged, even that, you know, brief amount of time,
mm-hmm,
sure,
mm-hmm,
but during that time when they were so like 100% engaged with your stuff?
Yeah. So I think the dynamics of what's been happening on Life of Dad, I've seen the progression and the history of the growth for the past 6 years of doing this. So, I mean, this started off in a hospital room, real small time. I mean, only our parents and, you know, like our family were you know, reading it and engaging with it. My gosh, I think in the last year we've seen more growth on our Facebook presence alone. We saw more growth in the last year of our Facebook presence than we saw in the past like five years of our history of the company.
It was during the Cheerio Challenge. I went to the Facebook page at one point. Yeah. I didn't know they had that many likes.
Well, then, Jesus. But dude, that was even before the Cheerio Challenge.
But then
the Cheerio Challenge happened. That was a bigger pace of growth on all of our media platforms than we'd ever seen, just ever.
Right.
It was quicker momentum, more traffic on on our Instagram, Facebook, our Twitter.
Right.
Even our Snapchat stuff was our paltry little Snapchat was even getting a little love. Like, people were finding that somehow. But so I think to answer the question, we've always tried to keep it kind of family-friendly, small, intimate.
Down to
these
earth.
Are brothers, you know, mingling with one another, just breaking bread, you know, and sharing stories. And that's always been the case. Our audience has always been heavily women.
Right.
60% of our audience at any given time have been women to actually, like, listen, consume the content, read it. Because I imagine, you know, women just want to hear what's on in, you know, their husbands or their men in their lives, what's going on in their brain. And Life of Dad is kind of the creative outlet to enable that to happen.
Yeah.
In terms of our kind of membership, 90%+ of obviously fathers, because, you know, our content creators and the bloggers that join with us and the podcasters that come rock with us are oftentimes men, fathers who want to share the story. So that the world can see it. To speak on the dynamics that we've seen on Facebook, we've always been a small company. We're still relatively, I guess, a small company in the grand scheme of things, like doing this. But so even as the stuff has been scaling, we've tried to keep this kind of, you know, really solid, well thought out, pure, family-friendly, kind of welcoming, friendly, you know, brand that is at the center of it all. That, regardless of how many thousands of people are commenting and liking this thread, we're going to get in there and try to, you know, like, break bread with the people as much as we can.
Still,
like, we're only one.
Guys.
We're still six people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
rocking. Like, we can only do so much, but we want to do more to A, make it bigger, help them and make the world a better place, but still keep that cool vibe about it. Like, yeah. that has been there since the start when we were rocking out in the hospital room. Or in my case, when I was, you know, going broke in a garage, you know? So, I mean, like, we're still young and hungry and just mm-hmm. want to rock out just the same. And, you know, we're humble, cool guys. And just want to, you know,
which
spread love
reasons.
In the world, man. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I really like City Dads Group, too.
I love those guys,
man. Is because the whole dynamic that they've got going on, even though, you know, each of the groups is spread out through, you know, mm-hmm. how many cities is it now?
24, I think.
24. Dude, I always say 15 when I'm on interviews. I underestimate those guys.
Yeah, okay,
man.
Well,
I should just say like 50 because they've got to continue that.
It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's like 24, and because I get to make the graphic.
So, yes.
And I swear, it feels like as soon as I get that map done,
there's another one.
Then they're like, redesign
the map.
We need to add another
new bullet on it. Yeah.
And like seriously, like last week, I was actually adding another. Like, I was late on putting the
little push
together for the next meetup group that they're putting together. So like we mm-hmm. you know, we get all their logos and everything ready, and I just finished it. I felt like I just finished it 2 weeks earlier because they were doing something for Facebook for Father's Day,
mm-hmm.
and. I'm like, okay, well, I better have it accurate. And mm-hmm. like a week later, oh, yeah, well, here's the next group. So I think we're like 24, one more. I'm not sure if they've announced it yet. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I was just thinking to myself, so Don, you're speaking about it's basically like getting events together and stuff like that in a community, right?
Basically, it's like how to take your blog and celebrate locally what you're doing, and then
okay.
using that to pivot into, you know, like we've worked with a Cupcake Lady, we've worked with some local gyms and stuff,
right.
and that carries over where I can use that to, you know, work with it, because I run the ABQ Dads Group.
Right, yeah.
In Albuquerque, mm-hmm. and so we're able to pivot that into other stuff, not just that, but what I think the biggest message I'm going to come, you know, and talk about is... if your passion is your blog, then your passion should also be where you live. And if you have a passion for where you live, you should celebrate that.
Right.
And if you celebrate it, it's going to all, you know, bring more people to where you live, which, you know, will translate into people making more money.
Right,
which means
right.
your city's making
bringing
more money.
Bringing people to your businesses.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it'll trickle down to everything else. You know, that means that money's going to get spent on your kid's school
right,
or
yeah.
for, you know, playgrounds
yeah.
or for parks and stuff like that.
And see, that's another reason why I wish I could, like, come listen to your thing. And maybe we should just, like, sit down and have some beers and talk about it later because... Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're gonna have a lot of beers later.
We're gonna have a lot of beers later. Yeah,
beer's not a problem.
Isn't this a popping bottle podcast?
I don't know how the talking part is.
I know.
Going
here's on. I'm trying to figure out. You're like in the honeymoon suite. And I don't see any drinks.
I know. Right? We're all consumed last night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's one of the other reasons I want to come and come to listen to yours because. A number of the guys that are involved in the Philly Dads Group and you know, a number of the guys that are just involved in all the dads groups in general
mm-hmm.
Have blogs or do some type of online media type stuff like podcasting or vlogging or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that real connection that what you're talking about can provide where, okay, let's use the fact that we are social media people and we are blogging people and that sort of thing to not only connect our blogs and our websites and stuff like that with local businesses, but also roll that into City Dads Group stuff because,
mm-hmm.
like you said, then it's bringing in, you know, more attention to your local places, more money being brought to them, you know, that sort of thing.
Well,
so.
But that's that thing, like, even if we're sitting here,
mm-hmm.
all of us in some form or another are doing stuff with Life Dad, we're doing stuff with City Dads, we're doing...
Right.
All these four or five organizations are, you know, dad bloggers included, the Facebook group. I mean,
yeah,
all
Facebook
of it,
group,
we're
yeah.
all big bread and try to partner with one another whenever possible.
Right,
you know?
like it's like, we're like the interwebs of fatherhood, right? You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, we've made so many connections and at this point, it's hard to figure how we would function not being so connected.
Sure.
Because
right.
that's
mm-hmm.
kind of what's built. And I think I kind of what makes it great because in other work that I've done, you always feel like you're competitors.
Oh yeah,
for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like we're all on the same kind
of... We're all in the same boat, man. And I think from Life of Dad's perspective, because I've talked with all these guys, man, I love Matt and Lance. I love, you know, Doug French and John Pacini. You know, the National At-Home Dad Network, National Fatherhood Initiative. You know, who am I missing? City Dads Group, of course. You know, dad bloggers. All these guys, I mean, whatever. Like, look, I look at what City Dads Group does. I'm like, I would never want to do that. Life of Dad, like, we're a web company. The idea of, like, organizing meetups and, like, groups, oh, my gosh. Like, yo, go Matt and Lance. Like, oh, my God, Doug French and John Pacini. What they do is they throw this, you know, basically like the Super Bowl of fatherhood.
Right.
Hell no. And are we going to, like, do that? Like, Tommy Rouse and I talked, you know, like, oh, my God, no, we're not throwing a convention. So... But we'll attend it, you know, we'll love it. But, you know, be a media partner there, you know, but yeah, it's all love to us, you know. Let's rise and fall together, you know. Let's rise together.
Right, but that's the thing, like, we all have that, like, area where we're, like, I think that's where we've struck a chord, where we all have that area where we're good at it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. And so now we have, you have this network that when I hit that point where I'm out of my element, it's, you know... The guy that can help me or the group that can help me is like a stone's throw away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And say, hey, because it's, you know, it's on any given week, I'll get a phone call from Tommy going, mm-hmm. hey, can you back us up and help us create something, do something, move it along.
Right.
Because we, you know, that's what you do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, same thing like with City Dads Group, you know, like as soon as they open a new group, they're like, hey, who do we know that can,
mm-hmm.
Who can be that guy that's going to be motivate people, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got a good unity, a good brotherhood here. Yeah. I mean, can't mess that up.
Right there. I think it's brothers. You know, you have everybody wanting to see the other one succeed not see the other one fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a symbiotic relationship that works through every group that we have. And, like, I love to go to these. This is my first Type A.
Yeah.
I think... This is your second, Eric?
No, yeah, because I did that Type A Mastermind.
This is my fifth.
So, and we've all been to Dad 2.0s. I mean, we're all
many years. Five Dad 2.0s. Oh, my gosh, how does...
You get around.
My gosh, it's hard to even believe that we're that deep in, you know?
I think it's great that we learn stuff, but, I mean, for a lot of us, it's a celebration of seeing a friend, a brother that you haven't seen in a short period of time, be it 6 months or a year.
Right.
And I think for me, that's what I love, because it re-energizes me as a parent, you know, to go, well, I can keep doing what I'm doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got these sterling examples of you know, what I strive to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I love to go and just, you know, it's like having, you know, you're having like your family reunion for that year, and you're all drinking, you know, and having a good time and just talking.
Yeah,
and you know, it's like, it's funny, before you started recording, we're all laughing about it.
Right.
All kinds of stupid stuff. And if anybody was actually listening, going, what the fuck is wrong with these guys? And it's us laughing about stuff that we think is hilarious, but it's really probably not to the common person.
Mm-hmm. And we get to this place, and we like I mean, the moment we walk in, it's like we're picking up that conversation where we, the last place that we left in. Like, hey, it's no big deal.
And I think the coolest thing for me, and I was talking with David Greiner, the you know, digital you know, managing editor over at Adweek. I was, you know, had an interview with him earlier, and we were talking about, you know, and we've been talking a lot about, you know, okay, Cheerio Challenge, you know, going viral and business success, and, you know, how to, you know, do your audience and blog and, you know, all the technicalities of our business.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you really look at the brotherhood we have, I mean, it's making us better as men, as better as fathers, as parents. It's making our family stronger. We make our family stronger. It makes the community stronger. Makes the world stronger. Right, and, I mean, there's so many ills in the world that can absolutely be solved by better fatherhood.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah. And to that point of, you know, being better fathers and being better men in general and that sort of thing. One of the things that I absolutely love about, I can't remember if it was the last Dad 2.0 or the one previous, is where there were two or three guys, I'm not sure who, and even if they were, you know, sometimes people want their stuff private, but they got together to just talk about their depression, talk about dealing with those sort of issues, which... Everybody faces on at some level, it seems like.
When Life of Dad started, I was in the pits of hell.
Right,
bottom of my life.
And so from that really small group of guys, it started to become a little bit of a discussion that was happening on the Dad Blogger Facebook group, which has spawned into a Facebook group of its own, which I think there's now like 70 or 80 guys, I think, now a part of it. I can't remember. I haven't looked at the number lately. But now we have this, you know, because of wanting to take care of each other and being almost, you know, hey, we're all in this parenting thing together.
Yeah.
You know, now we have this really awesome place where we can talk about the things that we need to talk about, and it's a, you know, it's a private group, so it's safe, and and we all understand each other's issues because we've all, you know, felt it to a certain extent. So yeah, really, really awesome stuff coming out of it.
Well, that's a panel that Robert Zeitlin and myself actually want to do next year at the point is to talk about depression.
That'd be great.
You know, because he's, you know, a child psychologist. You know, and I'm a psychologist, so we would like to, because I think it's one of those things where, you know, we're, if you feel you're in a safe place and you can talk about it to another person that is going through it, and, you know, it gives you that support system, which we have it, but at the same time, we're still kind of leery about saying, well, I have this, because there's that stigma that goes, well, then you have a problem because you're not strong, or this, this, and this. And I think that's just silly talk. You know? Right. And it's, for me, whenever I have a conversation with somebody and they say, you know, I don't know if I can do this, and I'm like, you've just taken the hardest step. You're asking for help. And right there, that shows that you're not weak. That shows that you're super strong.
Even if you're asking yourself the question, like looking at yourself in the mirror in the morning, you're like, maybe I need to, you know, take a look at this more.
Because why are we doing all this stuff? I mean, we're doing it all to be better dads. If you're struggling with that, then you're not going to be a better dad. And that's only just, you know, helping yourself. So that's a cool panel that we really would like to do.
We've got this spot where we're like, you know, we're changing the dynamic that exists, right? We're becoming better so we can create this role model for our kids, right? So our kids, because like I was talking about it right after my session, I got asked a question about City Dads Group, because I always mention it. I say that what we do is create the group, make it easy for a dad to join. Because we're not naturally at this point like networkers and create, like, and we grew up with that stigma of if you admit weakness, you're not strong. And so I got to ask, well, how does that happen? And I have a whole rant that I go on about this.
Should I start the Snapchat?
We'll start the episode over. Hold on.
But the point of it being is we have the ability now as fathers to kind of change that for our kids. And to the point that Ryan was making, we start here with this with me, and then my group, and then the people they touch, and grow big. And we've gotten this mentality that change is going to come if we start at the top and move down. Never in the entire world has a change ever happened because the top decided to head the direction. Change happened by one individual doing something different, and someone recognizing it. And we talk, you know, when we talk about like mental health like that, the hard part is the first person to say, I need help. Once that happens, 50 other people watch that person do it and go, okay, well, that guy can do it. I can do it, and let's have this conversation. And there's so many things like in the world, like the ills of the world are just these problems that we don't want to address. And I don't want to be the first. I'm worried that if I'm the first one to say it,
someone will mock me, or, you know, think I'm crazy, or, you know.
It feels like the first person who says it is the one who's going to take the most hate about it.
Yeah. It's always awkward being the first person on the dance floor. Learned this at karaoke last night. Doing the worm.
But I told my kid this, and it was a great moment because he was scared of something. And what I told him about is that we talk about being strong and brave and everything, right? And then the manliness of that. And the point that I made out of it, like, because it feels to me like what we're talking here is like fear, and it's that you can't be brave unless there's something to be scared of,
right?
Yeah. Interesting. There has to be that fear.
Bravery is the response to fear. Interesting.
So fear's not inherently wrong, evil, or anything. Fear is that thing.
Yeah.
And it's our response to it. And if you want to be the strong person, it's I'm the one that's going to say, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't feel. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of it, but I'm going anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pull a Han Solo. I have a bad feeling about this. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But I'm going anyway.
Right.
I'm
not
exactly. Doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's where, and I think that's what our networks allow us to do.
Well, I think, you know, in a microcosm, you can kind of explain it in two ways. One is, look at what 10 extraordinary men are doing right now in Great Britain.
Right.
Right.
Okay. We have those 10 men who are honoring, you know, a man that started our, for a lot of us,
right.
The
right.
Dad Bloggers group on Facebook.
Which, by the way, just to fill everybody in, Jim Higley and Camp Keesum, which is an amazing camp for those of you who don't know, that takes care of kids and sometimes whole families, mm-hmm. While parents are dealing with
cancer
mm-hmm. cancer treatments and that sort of thing. And in the spirit of our, shall we say, dad blogger forefather, maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Orrin Miller, who's, I can't say enough about him. Mm-hmm. Jim Higley and 9 other guys, who I'll put their names in the description too, are over in England walking Hadrian's Wall. Yeah.
84
miles.
That's amazing.
And, yeah.
And that's the thing. You have Orrin Miller, who made such a difference for all of us, and kind of being the brave one to
gave his place.
Being the brave one to say, hey, here's I'm gonna make the place, you all come. And we came, and when he died, we felt that vacuum.
Yeah.
But then how many other guys just kind of stepped in? Okay, well, he started, we carried on, and now you got guys walking over, making this, like, great movement to help kids with cancer,
mm-hmm. right?
And it's all connected to that. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. one guy that stood up and said, "I'm gonna, this is gonna be a scary thing, but I'm gonna admit the fact that we need a place, to share our stuff."
I believe the quote from him at the top of the page is, "A group of all dad bloggers. It's so crazy. I think it might just work."
And so it's awesome to see. And that's that. If you want to know what all of this is about, that right there defines it more than anything else. Right.
And the fact that, you know, and I remember meeting Orrin for the first time at Dad 2.0 Summit in Houston in 2013, 14, I forget what the exact year, but it was soon after that Orrin was Life of Dad was really young at the time. Orrin was one of our first members of Life of Dad, one of the first like 50 or something. And I met him. We knew him only online, read all of his blogs and his stories, which awesome guy. But we met him for the first time at a casino night at Dad 2.0 Summit. And I was down like $30,000 or something in play poker money. And I was feeling really bad about that. But Orrin kind of lifted my spirits a little bit. It was good meeting him in person.
Yeah.
But you know, all that awkward, funny story aside, Orrin, soon after that conference, literally kind of like went home, and that's really when the Dad Bloggers group really kind of started to grow to the Dad Blogger group that we know.
Right.
So it just, I don't know, it's just awesome to kind of like reflect and look back on history.
And how everything has played into each other.
To your point, Eric, about how one person can truly change, it's like, Orrin was one person. He stood up. He changed the world. And he was incubated by the coolness of, you know, what Doug French and John Pacini was.
Right.
So, like, we all kind of incubate one another and make one another better. And it just, we all have risen together in this whole space. Like, we've all built this. And we're all one person individually. And that's awesome, you know?
And if you're listening to this and you feel any kind of movement or inspiration or anything like that, just imagine if you listen to a bunch of other dad podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And read our blogs and followed on social media, because it's more than just, we are dads, hey, look at my kid, you know, shaking its butt at me and, you know, making fart noises.
Fart jokes, with
her cheeks and stuff like that, you know. It's more than just that, and it's more than just, you know, every once in a while we get the paid campaign with, like, Pampers and stuff like that, which is awesome.
Cheerios.
You know, Cheerios.
What's great about it is we're all fans of each other. And yeah. I've given you, I don't know, how much harder times. I love this show, and I'm glad I'm on it with you.
Yeah.
You
know. I'm glad all you guys
I think
are.
What is the one thing I always tell you every time we have a conversation?
Consistency.
Consistency. And I tell you, I want to hear more. And, mm-hmm. and it's not because of anything else. I mean, there's plenty of other blogs that I listen to or watch or podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're generally supportive of each other. And, you know, I've been on the Life of Dad show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been on all you guys. Except me. I've been on all you guys' shows.
Yeah, this guy over here.
Okay, but in fairness,
but your show, it doesn't have that format.
I don't interview. It's a chance for Pat to ask questions,
right,
and me to show that I know a lot of stuff,
right?
Or pretend like
it's just a huge exercise in vanity is what we're hearing.
Daddy, why can't I be on your show?
So that's a good phrase.
Yeah. We'll get you there.
Exercise in vanity.
Yeah.
Parent blogging is more than just an exercise in vanity.
No, it's what did I say yesterday? It's equal parts exercise vanity and an exercise in totally, you know, just making fun of yourself.
Exactly. Because
mm-hmm. if you can't have one, you can't do the other. And so, I mean, everybody here has written stuff that doesn't paint them in the greatest light.
Right.
Okay? But we all have a blog, so that means we're pretty freaking vain anyway.
Right,
but
right,
there's plenty of stuff we've written about that don't say that we're the greatest parents in the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's that piece of humanity which we're missing right now. I mean, globally, that's what we're missing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not about, you know, being a black dad. It's not about being a white dad. It's not about being an Asian dad. Eric, I'm looking at you.
I speak Chinese, but I'm not Asian.
You know, and not it's not about being a gay dad or what. It's just you're a dad.
Yeah.
And you're human. And
yeah.
This is the only race that we share. And so, I mean, we're talking, you know, having this conversation a day after, you know, those terrible things happened in Dallas.
Yeah.
And it's like, we as parents are like, I don't know how I'm going to have that conversation with my son or my daughter going,
right,
you know, what do we do? And so the thing is, you know, it's what's great about everybody here is we're human, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we might be vain because we all have our own podcast. We might have all ABC. So.
But it is, I think it especially hits us when we become parents. Mm-hmm. Because then you start to realize when you're seeing all these things happening that, you know what? Black, white, Asian, you know, gay, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're here for our kids.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. This is the important thing.
Yeah, it's we, not me.
Well,
Have
you guys have all watched Gladiator, right?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. You're asking, Russell Crowe. I just don't watch TV, but no, the rest of these guys, man.
I am entertained. Go ahead.
Are you not? Okay, but okay, so in
American Gladiator?
No.
Is that what you're
talking about? You know, the Russell Crowe bio. Anyway, I watched that, and when it first came out, I wasn't a dad.
Yeah.
So it was just an awesome, like, mm-hmm. kill people movie, violence, yay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, if I, my wife and kids were out of town, and I put it in, and I was watching it, and I hit the end of that, and I'm, like, bawling.
Right,
and
yeah.
I'm like, what in the world? And what happens is, I'm even tearing up now, like, when I talk about this, because you get that moment when he's like, got to choose, am I going to die?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or am I going to be the emperor? And in his head, like, and their belief is, you know, like, that he's going to want to be with his family. Mm-hmm. And, like, at that moment, you know, like, God, if I had to make that choice, Emperor of the world doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Isn't it great that Eric my used family. Gladiator instead of Old Yeller?
Eric's
Old Yeller is actually Gladiator.
Old Yeller is a little dated. Let's be honest.
So if you want that, we'll just go with... That's our new old
year. So we got a little less than 2 minutes left. Real quick, Twitter handles. Go.
At Diary Dad.
At Daddy Nibby.
At Life of Dad Show. My personal one, at Ryan E. Hamilton.
And, of course, you're listening to at PB Dadcast, and I am at BK Mullen _. And who cares what Nick's thing is because he's not here. Prick.
Oh, no.
No love. No respect.
I just can't remember what it is right now, to be perfectly honest. Papa Brownie.
Papa Don't Preach.
I can barely even remember the email address for Poppin' Bottles Dadcast, and I created it 3 years ago. So, you know, it is what it is. But hey, great fucking discussion.
This has been podcast excellent. I think this is absolutely the best podcast episode I've ever recorded.
Right. So,
nailed it.
Definitely follow these guys because I know you guys mostly do interviews, and you guys mostly do interviews, and I don't listen to your show. no matter whether it's, you know, Life of Dad doing interviews with famous people or anybody's show, we're all talking about this amazing stuff of being parents and what it means in not just to us, but in the modern world as it is. And so if you like this shit, there's a whole universe out there to listen to. So definitely listen to these guys. All right. Oh, God. 15 seconds. What will I do? I should end it.
Boom, boom, pow! We rock it.
Later.